Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome aboard, everybody. Welcome aboard to the first podcast of 2016. Well, actually, it is the first. We did the New Year's Eve special. David, don't worry. I won't tell who was in the chat room for the New Year's Eve special, but there were a couple of people in there, and, you know, it was really turned out to be pretty good. But anyway, we got the new year coming up. We got a lot of stuff. It's baseball. Football is over. I still can't figure out if there's any one good football team. I mean, with New England losing 3 out of 5, Pittsburgh just about squeaking in. They couldn't even make the playoffs. Kansas City losing the first 6 games of the year. Denver playing well, but now they don't have a quarterback. Cincinnati's okay. Is there any good teams in Major League Football in the National Football League? I don't think so. But there are good players in fantasy football, that's for sure, and two of them are right here on our site, and I don't even know, is there a game tonight? Is there a Monday night football game, or is it all over? But even if there is, we would like to congratulate Stephen Gasparis, the Bears. That's right, Stephen, who was on my case all year for not putting my lineups in on time, and I did. I did most of the time. I have no excuse for a poor showing. But Stephen actually dominated the league, and he defeated Scott Wagner, who also had a great team and did a great job this year. Scott even wrote a couple of articles about the league. Stephen did as well. So I congratulate Stephen, and you'll be hearing from me in the email in just a little bit after the show, Stephen. Nice going. So Stephen wins the first annual Lenny's Legions Fantasy Football League. No, there's no Monday night game. Okay, good. All right, it's over. It is over, all the way over. So Stephen wins it. Scotty comes in second. I won't tell you where I came in, but certainly next year David Leach is my partner. That's for sure. Okay, so let's get on to what we came here for, and that is Major League Baseball. I want to tell you, we have approached 200 subscribers at the website, and I can only say thank you for those of you who have supported me, who have helped me out in a number of ways. 200 subscribers in 4 months. That, if you do the math, that's 50 a month, and it's just tremendous. As we welcome Greg and Jet9 and Michael Johnson and David and Gripweed, nice to have you all with us on this first podcast of the year. And I'll bet you there are people who think, what is Lenny going to talk? I got nothing to talk about. Nothing's happened, okay? Well, we still got B.J. B.J. Upton's brother, that is. We still got Justin. We still got Cespedes. We still got Gordon. By the way, I heard something this morning out of Boston that they may even trade Rusty Castillo in Boston to sign, if they can sign Gordon. So we'll keep an eye out on that. You got Dexter Fowler. You got Span. You got Kennedy. You got Wee and Chen. And then you got Ian Desmond, Kyle Kendrick, Pedro Alvarez. And I tell you, Baltimore was interested in signing Alvarez, but could you imagine Alvarez at first base for Baltimore and then moving Trumbo to left field? You could have two of the worst fielders in Major League Baseball out there in your starting nine. That would be a disaster. So you got all these free agents, and then you got Detroit, the Angels, San Francisco. What do you got? St. Louis, Colorado's in there, Baltimore's in there, and that's it. There's not much. There's only about 6 or 7 teams willing to spend the money, who have the willing to give up the qualifying offer, give up a prospect, give up a draft pick, and there's not a lot of suitors. Makes you wonder what guys like Howie Kendrick, I think he'll wind up back on the Angels, only because of the fact that the Angels won't have to give up a draft pick. The Angels have some protected picks anyway. And they got Ian Desmond. Ian Desmond's going to have a hard time. John Paul Morisi says Ian Desmond winds up, John, he's a tremendous writer and a tremendous, he's one of these guys on MLB. He says San Diego. I disagree. And Jason the Natural is here. Good morning, Jason. Great to have you you with us. I don't see it, man. I see the White Sox going all in to try to get an outfielder and to try to get an Ian Desmond. I think getting Desmond will be easy for the White Sox. The outfielder may not be so good. But it's all about price, patience, and the lack of need. It's keeping this. It's unbelievable. Last year, the only signing in January of substance was Max Scherzer, arguably the biggest, one of the biggest signings, but still only one. And now again, Upton, Gordon, Cespedes, Fowler, Span, Kennedy, Chen. There's other guys too: Desmond, Kendrick, Pedro Alvarez. So as you can see, and I think, you know, when you ask who had the best winter. All right, what team do you think had the best winter? Matt Adams would be traded by the Cardinals. I thought that too. I definitely think, and don't forget, the Cardinals got Jed Jerko. And so you got to think that maybe they're considering trading a Colton Wong. So just mentioning the free agents as I did, there's a ton of them, okay? And then you got the possibility of, you think A.J. Preller is done? He hasn't even started yet. With that pitching staff and Tyson Ross, I'll bet you San Diego starts wheeling and dealing with the trades. I'll bet you Colorado starts wheeling and dealing with the trades. Whoa. I don't know where that came from, but anyway. That was my New Year's Eve dinner. Anyway, Arizona, you would think, possibly had the best offseason. Getting Zach Greinke, getting Shelby Miller, absolutely propelled the Diamondbacks into contention in the National League. But there were some that think it may have been the Atlanta Braves who had the best offseason. And if you think about it, the Atlanta Braves have come out and made it very clear they're rebuilding. Cincinnati has done the same thing. Cincinnati has acquired 11 prospects who could possibly play on this team in 2016. Of course, not all 11 will at the same time. But some people think Atlanta. The three top prospects that changed teams this year went to the Atlanta Braves. The three top ones, Dansby Swanson, went in the Shelby Miller deal along with Aaron Blair. Those are the two of the three top prospects. And Sean Newcomb in the Andrelton Simmons deal. So if you take a look at what teams did the best in the offseason, it's not that easy to say it was just the Arizona Diamondbacks, because I think the Atlanta Braves got exactly what they hoped to get in the offseason. Some young pitchers, some good prospects, and Atlanta's on the way to doing some decent stuff. Okay. All right. Now, I'm going to ask you to go ahead and get a pencil and paper, because what I want to do for the I'd like to open up the 2016 season by just going through very briefly the control the draft formula, something that I've used for many, many years. Now, I do understand that the priority for the control the draft is the auction format, but the control the draft, if you listen carefully, you can take a lot of points from the control the draft formula and put them over in the format of the snake draft. And here he is, the guy who acquitted himself so well, the guy who battled to the very end, Scott Wagner, who did such a great job. And Scott, we were talking about you just before, how great of a job you did in the Football League, coming in second to Stephen, and also writing a little bit about it. I'd like to see a little bit more enthusiasm about the writing about it, okay, as we could write. And that's what we hope to do in the baseball. And don't forget, if you want to participate, if you want to be eligible for the Baseball League, that we hope to have a live draft. And right now, very tentative, okay? But right now, with the aid of somebody who manages a hotel in Tampa, I'd like to say that right now it's very possible that we may have the draft in Tampa, Florida. Okay, so we'll see how that works out, okay? I'm not opposed to having it in Chicago or California or anywhere, depending upon what's convenient for most of the participants. So if you want to participate, send me an email, Lenny Melnick at fantasy, what am I talking about? LennyMelnick@gmail.com, and we'll get you on the list. The list is mounting. So it really is. Okay, now take your pens, pencils, and bloody fingers and get ready to write, because the Control the Draft formula is about to be released. We try to do this every year, and we try to make this the first podcast of every year, and that's what this is, the first podcast of the year. So we'll see about that. So yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited about all the off-season movement. I'm excited to see San Diego start wheeling and dealing Matt Kemp and their pitchers, Tyson Ross. I'm excited to see the what Colorado's going to do, trying to entice somebody, a pitcher, to come over. So it's going to be interesting to see how that works out. And it's just going to be great. It's just going to be great. Okay, now, the number one thing for the Control of the Draft, and this is a formula that I've used for well over 20 years of drafting. In the auction format, it has worked. Now, I will tell you, I have not won every league that I've participated in. Far and away have I not won. Yes, I've won. I've won Labor 3 times. I've won Tout Wars twice. That's well and good. But I haven't won every time. So it doesn't guarantee you, but what it has done for me, and I'm telling you the honest truth, I have never walked out of a draft unhappy about my team. And sometimes that's the kiss of death, all right? Have you ever walked out of a draft saying, "Oh, my team sucks. It really, I blew it this year." And that's when you have your good year. How many times has that happened? Many times, you know, there's always one guy in my league who I'm always looking at. You know, the guy, you know, you don't think he knows anything, and yet he wins every year. And so many times I've walked out of a draft saying, "Well, finally, he's drafted a crappy team, and he wins again." time to get rid of this. Okay, what a way to start off the new year, okay? Anyway, the first thing, and this is the most important thing, this goes for, I don't care what format you're in, I don't care if you're in a head-to-head, if you're in a roto, whatever you're in, get the stats from last year from your league. Go to your league website, get all the stats, get the RBIs you need, get the home runs. You got to understand what you're going to need to be in contention. Now, if you don't have last year's stats, you find another league. And if you need some help, send me an email. I'll try to help you. It's really, if you're in a 12-team mixed league, there are plenty of 12 teams mixed leagues. It doesn't have to be your league. Just find out what the benchmarks are. All right, and I'll get to that in another podcast. Get the benchmarks for what you need to finish third. In RBIs, in runs scored, in stolen bases, in batting average, in on whatever it is, whatever the categories you have, get the benchmarks because, excuse me, gee whiz, that just may as well choke myself. Anyway, anybody know the Heimlich maneuver, all right? Andy, Heimlich time. Anyway, so get the stats from last year. It's the benchmark. It's what you'll be referring to as you build your team, okay? As you build your team, this is what you're referring to. Now, by the way, with the help of David Leisure, we have instituted a separate section for keepers. All of a sudden, the keeper questions are rolling in, and I will urge you, all you guys, Greg, Michael, all you guys who come on the site, feel free to go into the keeper section, which is now a separate section from the water cooler, and voice your opinion. When people post keeper questions, we'd love to get a consensus. We'd love to get everybody's opinion, especially if you disagree. Whoa, okay. All right, Andy to the rescue. Let's see. Hold on. That's right. She is not only the love of my life, but she's my nurse, she's my caretaker, and everything else involved. Okay, so here's what we do. Now, as far as keepers, the reason I mention that is what you do in order to determine your keepers, the first thing you have to do, first thing you have to do is list every player by position who you think will be drafted. That's right. every player by position who you think will be drafted. And if you can do that, it will really give you a head start. Tim McLeod is here from the great state of Canada. Tim McLeod is here as the Edmonton Eskimos have allowed Tim McLeod to appear live and in person right here every morning at 9 a.m. And Tim, and by the way, I got to tell you something. Your herbal tea. Okay, I'll get your herbal tea. That's right. Andrea is a keeper. All right? Andrea is a keeper. She's my biggest keeper. Anyway, talking about keepers, you're right. Nice going, Jet. That's right. She's the keeper of the year for me. Anyway, the point is that, oh, by the way, go to Blog Talk and pick up the show, the Prospect 361 podcast from last night. Tim and Rich, I mean, it's just crazy, man. Did a great, just a great job talking about a lot of stuff. So if you, you know, if you didn't get a chance to catch it last night, and Tim, if you could be kind enough, you want to, you know, put a link in the in the chat room, just be my guest. Anyway, if you don't, then I'll put it up on my site because it was a good show. Anyway, as always, now, so what you got to do to determine your keepers? It's very important that you make a list of every player that you feel will be drafted. Okay. And then, after you have done that, put them by position. If it's more than one position, you just have to, you know, you may have to make some changes. If you have a shortage of outfielders, and you got a Mark Trumbo who can play first and play outfield, if you got a shortage of outfielders, then put them in the outfield, okay? If you got a shortage of first baseman, you have to figure out how that works. Then, depending upon, so now you have, you got your stats from last year as a benchmark. You have made a list of every player you feel will be drafted by position. And it's got to be the exact amount of players, no extra players, okay? And then you have to make an educated guess. Look at the other teams and try to circle those players that you feel are going to be kept. It's a guess, but it could be a very educated guess. You generally should know your league a little bit, okay? So I would say that you do that. And this, and the reason you do this is the following. When you're making your keepers, what you've got to do is you've got to understand that if you keep a certain player at a position, and or if you let him go, you have to understand what's left for the draft. You may have to keep a player that you really didn't want to keep only because if you let that shortstop go, there may not be any good shortstops in the draft for you to get. Simple as that. So you may have to keep a certain player only because there's nobody, there may not be anybody left. And, of course, that is determined by your league. So that's what you got to do. You got to circle the players that you feel will be kept. Now, if you're in the snake draft, that will help you immensely to determine the shortage of position, scarcity of position. Now, if you're in the auction format, here's what you got to do. You have to put, the first thing you do is you put the keeper value. This, you know what, people tell me my inflation rate is 10%. My inflation rate, that's bull dinky poppycock. It's nothing, okay? There's no such thing as the inflation rate is guaranteed. You put the keeper value of the players that you feel will be kept. Let's say you got Joey Votto. Whoa, having a bad day. Sorry about that. Let's say you got Joey Votto with $6. He's a $6 player, okay? $6 player. So you have the keeper values, and then you fill in around the values of the players that are remaining that may not be keepers. Now that you got all the values, you got the keeper values down, you have the other values down, you add them up, add up the total amount. This is important. I mean, it's a little bit of work, but you'll be amazed as to how much. Cameron Maben is a tiger. Holy mackerel, I forgot about that. You know what, this year, I've been a big National League only guy. Cameron Maben and Todd Frazier have been my two favorite players. They're both now in the American League, so there you go. I may have to switch to the American League this year. So you've got all the values. Add them up. if you're in a, now for, as an example, if you're in a 10-team league, $260 format, it's got to add up to $2,600. Can't be a dollar over, can't be a dollar under. It's got to be, and you, what you'll have to do is go back and you'll have to make the necessary changes so that it adds up to whatever the total amount of money is going to be spent in your league. And that's what you do. So far, what do you got? You got the stats tucked away from last year. We'll get to that in a second. You've listed everybody by position. You've made an educated guess on your keepers. You put the keeper values down on paper. And you put the other values down as well. Make sure it adds up to the total amount of money that's going to be spent. And what do you do next? Now you've got all this in front of you. You start making up teams. And the way you make up teams, there's a way to do it. You start off with that $40 outfielder. You start off with Andrew McCutchen at $40. And you make a team, you know, with whatever favorite player you have at the top dollar, okay? And then you take and you see how that works out, and you do a little projections on the stats. Doesn't have to be 100. And you see where you fall. Okay, and you take a look. Okay, so I'm in the middle of the pack in RBIs. I basically use home runs when I'm figuring out projections. I don't figure out every category. I take the amount of home runs. I want to be competitive in home runs. If I'm competitive in home runs, I'm pretty sure I'll be competitive. Listen to this very carefully. If I'm competitive in home runs, I'm pretty sure I'll be competitive in RBIs. If I'm competitive in stolen bases, I should be top of the line, you know, making sure I don't get stolen bases from a part-time player. And in home runs, you got to make – well, I'll get to the home runs in a second. But if I'm competitive in stolen bases, I should be good in runs scored. So you only have to do stolen bases and home runs. See where you are. Now, keep in mind, when you're doing home runs, you got to pay attention. You're getting home runs by Carlos Gomez. You're getting home runs by A.J. Pollock. You're getting home runs by Christian Yelich. If these guys are batting at the top of the order, you got to be careful for the RBI department. All right? You just got to pay attention. You can't have leadoff guys hitting home runs and thinking that you're going to be competitive in RBIs. So you start off with that $40 Andrew McCutchen. Let's see what team I'm going to have with Andrew McCutchen for $40. Let's see what kind of a team I'm going to have with Mike Trout. Let's see what team I'm going to have with Paul Goldschmidt. Okay? Let's see what team I'm going to have with Clayton Kershaw. Then you take that $40 player and you make another team. But you take the $40 player and you come up with two $20 players instead. And you just keep doing this. Could take you a good week or so. It's a tremendous exercise. I have a lot of fun with it, all right? David Leisure says make Matt Duffy your new favorite obscure NL player, okay? Oh, unbelievable, all right? Scott Blackboy, are you kidding me? Scott Wagner is the cream of the crop, okay? Let me tell you something about Scott Wagner. There's not more of a dedicated guy that I've seen than Scott Wagner. And it's great. I know you missed a couple of shows, but I got to tell you something. Scott, that's exactly what I say. Life gets in the way. That is fantastic. Life gets in the way. Unbelievable. Scott Wagner, I love you, man. You're just great. Absolutely. That's great. I'm not the only one. That's my motto. Life gets in the way. And my other motto is, I have a couple of mottos. My other motto is, the grass is always greener on the other side until you realize it's AstroTurf. Think about that one for a second, okay? Blood is thicker than water, and so is tomato juice. I got all these stupid thing. So you keep making teams until you're satisfied, until you think that you're satisfied with your team. You know, you may have just a mix of players. Now what you have to do, I'm not done yet. It's a detailed process, and if anybody wants to call and find out how to do this in a little bit more relaxed way, send me an email with your name and phone number and a designated day and time, and I'll be happy to call you back, and we can go over it. So after you're happy with your team, now what you have to do is you got to understand the alternatives. Let's say you don't get a particular player. Let's say you don't get your favorite first baseman, all right? Well, you know what? So you got to take this, and you got to get the stats somewhere. It's all about the stats. It doesn't matter if you get 30 home runs from first base or if you get 30 home runs from second base. You got to know the alternatives to a player in case you miss them. There are so many players that you put them in a tier, and there are so many players that do the same thing, do the same function. Gregory Polanco could replace Christian Yelich. Gregory Polanco could replace A.J. Pollock at a bargain, maybe. Okay, but we'll get to that in a second. So you build your teams. You check where you are in the standings based upon the standings that you fetched now. Get those standings now before your website goes off, okay? And you see how you do. So you go mix and match. If you don't get your first baseman, let's say you got a $30 first baseman, and let's say you got a $5 outfielder. Well, you know what? So you make a $30 outfielder and a $5 first baseman. You got to know your alternatives so you can stay within the categories, okay? And basically, this is what you do. This is how you're going to enter a draft with an outline of your team that you want to get. And I'll tell you something. I've gone into drafts, and there are drafts that I've come out with the exact team I wanted, okay? And I'll tell you how I do that in just a minute, all right? And know your alternatives. Now, when the draft starts, you want to let the draft play out because we're going to play the plus-minus game. This is the auction format. This is when the auction format takes over. That's right. Tim McLeod, you always have to have plan B. You always have to have plan C. That's right. And it doesn't matter. We make tiers based upon players and positions. But what we don't do, make tiers based upon once you have players' salaries down that you think they're worth $20, put all the $20 players in a tier. Put all the $30 players in a tier. All the $15 players. And that's the tier. It doesn't matter what position it is. Okay? It's about the categories they produce. Let's get that straight. I don't care where you get your stolen bases from. I don't care where you get your home runs from. It's all about getting them. It doesn't have to be a certain position. Now, I would much rather get my stolen bases from the middle infield because you have to pay a lot more to get one of those power speed guys in the outfield. So anyway, that's how it works. Now, if you get a home run hitter at second base, you could afford to get a Jarrett Dyson in the outfield. So, you know, it's all about getting the stats. And then once you have the stats when the draft starts, and we'll go into the actual draft in another podcast, but basically I don't like to throw out players that I want. I want the draft to play out. And there are some times that I will draft the first player that's thrown out. There are some times I'll sit and wait. Okay? It all depends. If I have a player that's valued at $30 and that player goes for $35, that means the draft is over by 5. If that trend continues, the draft over by 10, draft's now over by 12, draft's over by 25. If that trend of over your dollar amount, doesn't matter what any website says, it's your dollar, you know where that the players that are remaining in the unpicked players pool, they have to go for less than what you have. And there will be bargains coming up. It has to be. Remember, every player who does an auction format, or even a snake, we all have budgets in our head. And when we're paying over the price that we expect it to pay, or we're going in because we desperately want that player, we know it. And it'll show up in the plus minus. If the player's values are going over, you sit and wait because there'll be bargains. If the player's going under, then you're going to have to grab your players. And when they come up in value or even a buck or two over. Now, a couple of years ago, Carlos Gonzalez, I had him at 41. When he went for 37, I grabbed him because I knew right away I didn't have to wait. That was $4 under. I was taking it, and I was absolutely right about it. I did the same thing with Bryce Harper a couple of years ago. All right, I know when McCutchen is nominated for a dollar. Well, you know what? I never do that. If somebody goes a dollar, I'll go two. All right, I'll play that game. I really want to see what happens. I've seen too many times, David, when somebody goes 19 and somebody else goes 23, that, you know, you could have had them for 20. Right. So, yeah, if you yell 35, I got to tell you something. You scare people. That psychological ploy, I find, it doesn't work that much. So anyway, let the other people throw out the players. Play the draft. That's the only way. Playing the draft so you know what your options are. Now, in the snake draft, it's the same thing. Keep in touch with the categories. When you get a player, put his home runs, stolen bases down, okay? Home runs, stolen bases, that's it. And you keep track of where you want to be in home runs and stolen bases, and that gives you a pretty good idea of everything else. All right, this is a shortened version of the Control the Draft. Once again, if you need any help, just give me an email with your address, with your phone number, and a designated day and time. Happy to call you back. Please get over to the website. Andy is busy making some changes. A tremendous video. The history part is what I love. We got something on the history of the game. It'll really, if you're not familiar with what's up there with the history of the game, check it out. Thanks for joining me, everybody.